Greetings to our listeners. We are delighted to have you join us for another inspiring sermon immersed in the teachings of Christ. As we gather today, open your hearts to the timeless wisdom found in Scripture. Our prayer is that this time, together, will be a source of encouragement, growth, and a deepening of your relationship with Jesus Christ. Without further ado, here's this week's sermon.
Good morning, church. Good morning again. Are you excited to be in the house of the Lord? To hear Him, to learn Him, and to sense Him, and to feel Him? I am. And it's an honor and a privilege for me to be the one preaching today. Today, or this month of August as a church, we are in the book of Proverbs. The plan has been to take some time gleaning wisdom that we all need from this great book of Proverbs. And as we do that, we have also tried to sort of zoom in into some specific areas of our lives where definitely we need more wisdom. Of course, we need wisdom in all areas, in all matters of our life. We need godly wisdom, but we've just chosen a few. Pastor Ted did the first message in this series where he showed us the character, the competency of what wisdom is, painting a picture of what the wisdom is and why we need wisdom. And I hope you are blessed by that. Were you? Just last week, Pastor Kadu was back here and he brought to us that godly counsel, the wisdom that we need for our parenting journey. Today, I bring the third message in this series, and today we are going to be looking at the topic, speech, and going back to the same book of Proverbs and seeing what it has to say to you and to me, what God left there that we may use, we may see and use it in our lives so that we may gain prudence in our speech. Amen? Amen, amen. Now, before we proceed, allow me to invite us into a reading of God's word. We will read a text that will sort of form or inform everything else we'll be doing today. Allow me, if you can, to invite us to read Proverbs chapter 1. I'll read from verse 1 all the way to 7. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1 all the way to verse 7. And I read, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, that king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instructions, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables and the sayings and the riddles of the wise. Verse 7, and I want you to keep that your finger on that verse. Verse 7, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Right? I don't know what your experience is going or trying to read the book of Proverbs. I'm sure this is one of those books that has been recommended to many of us from when we were young. But there's also some unsaid frustrations with trying to read and understand the book of Proverbs. There are people who have, you know, said, what is it? This book is not deep. It's not like Romans, right? Sort of dismissing it as a very simplistic book. I mean, it's just about some short verse here. They are not even, you know. There has been that. Some people have also wondered, what is it with Proverbs? It's constantly just telling me what to do, what to do, what to do, what to do, what to do. It's not telling me deep things about the God that I want to know, right? Theologians and preachers have also been frustrated, especially because once you start reading the book of Proverbs, and perhaps this is also your experience, you read very faithfully from chapter 1 all the way to chapter 9, and sort of there was sort of familiar territory because it looked like the normal scriptures we read in other books. There's some thought, there's some paragraph where you can follow the flow till you got to chapter 10 and verse 1 all the way almost to 25. Verse 9, and realized, wow, now what is this? Oh, a proverb about laziness, another one about money, another one about wife, another one about disciplining children. You are thrown all over the map. frustrations from reading the book of Proverbs. But this morning I want to suggest or to propose to us a better way of looking at the book of scripture, the book of Proverbs. Not my thoughts, but I found this very, very useful in my understanding, not just the entire book of Proverbs, but the individual Proverbs themselves. And that way I've just fallen in love with this book. Some of you listening to me right now have been to my office for varied reasons, and we've spent some time there just looking at what the wisdom book says to us, especially on the matters that concerned us at that time. You can tell we are on matter speech today, and my speech is a bit froggy. You can tell that? It's because the last 3 weeks I've battled a cold, a homa. But I'm told it's not just me. It's a whole WhatsApp group out here. Is that true? Yeah? Of the people with this cold that is taking 3 weeks? The last time I was told colds take 7 days, and then they go, and that has been colds for me. But this one is 3 weeks, but I'm out of the weather. It's just the voice, so bear with me, please, all right? So now back to what I'm saying, a better way or what I would recommend you to use to understand this book of Proverbs is to go back to just that chapter one, right? And that's something very, very useful for any book. You go back to the beginning of the book, and there you get to know who wrote these Proverbs and why did they write them. And that's just what we have read. But I say that you put a finger on that verse 7 that has that phrase that you know. That phrase that you know is the ultimate call for you and I, a people who wants to be called a people of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instructions. Did you see that? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge or of wisdom. But what do fools do? Fools reject that. Fools reject that. Now, Before I go too deep into this, I just want to illustrate to you that actually that statement, the fear of the Lord, is actually repeated almost 14 times in this book of Proverbs. And that tells you something about what the author is trying to achieve, right? Let me just read a few of the Proverbs so that you see. We start with what we've just read, Proverbs 1:7, but also there's the Proverbs 9:10 there. But allow me to just read a couple of these Proverbs so that you see this phrase, the fear of the Lord, this call to fear the Lord is actually the overarching theme for the entire book of Proverbs. Proverbs 2:5, this is how it reads. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge of God. Did you hear that? You go to Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. You go to Proverbs 14:26, it says, whoever fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for their children it will be a refuge. The same chapter 14, you go to verse 27, it says, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, turning a person from the snares of death. You go to chapter 19 and verse 23 and reads, the fear of the Lord leads to life. Then one rests content, untouched by trouble. You go to chapter 22 and verse 4. Humility is the fear of the Lord. It's wages and riches and honor and life. And then you go to chapter 23 and verse 17. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. See that? So the fear of the Lord is a big thing that the author wants us to see. It's so important. But some of you already are beginning to sense, but that's not new, right? That's not new. It's actually the entire call of the scripture for God's people, that will be a people who fear God. It's the entire call. It's the principle of true piety, my friends. Maybe we go back to the Old Testament and we hear how this is echoed. Moses writing in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 20. Verse 12, and then he continued in the same chapter, verse 21 and 22, he says this, and now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Oh, fear God, fear the Lord your God and serve him, right? Solomon himself writing elsewhere in the book of Ecclesiastes, we know finally how that book ends. That very conclusive statement that he has in chapter Ecclesiastes chapter chapter 12 and verse 13, where we read Solomon saying, "Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments." Did you see that? That, my friends, is what I would suggest to you is how you begin to look at the book of Proverbs. The author has a big agenda. He has something he wants you and I to learn. And that is how to be a people who fear the Lord. Who fear the Lord, right? But the next thing, once you have that in your mind, once you have that bigger picture, that overarching theme, the next thing you want to do is to now go back sort of to what we call the context. Pastor Ted did a good job in reminding us that these proverbs actually were read in the courtyards. There would be Solomon, that wise man seated and talking to his son. That's why you're constantly reading, "Listen, my son, if sinful men, you know, my son, do not go along with them. You know, my sons, chapter 4, listen, my sons," right, to the father's instruction. So you imagine Solomon just seated and all these young people, and he seems to be saying to them, you young guys, listen, there's only one thing. This life, for you to truly live as someone who fears the Lord, there's going to be only two paths. The path of those who fear the Lord and the path of those who don't fear the Lord. He goes on to call the path of those who fear the Lord, he calls it the path of the righteous, right? The path of the upright. But the path that has the unwise people, those who are not following the Lord, he calls it the path of the wicked, the path of the unwise, the path of the fools, actually. Mostly is the path of the fools. So he's telling him, the young men, two paths only, not three. There's no third path. There's only the path of the wise and the path of the unwise. The path of the wise and the path of the fools, more precisely. You see that? And now you go to the book of Proverbs, and right from chapter 1, you can see that's the picture that he is painting in chapter 1. You go to chapter 2, is the picture he's painting. Chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, all the way. In fact, if you look at the book of Proverbs that way, it will interest you to see that actually by the time you hit chapter 31, that portrait of that woman, it's actually the path of, it's the ultimate picture of someone who has walked on the path of wisdom, right? And it's the same thing you can apply to every individual proverb. Because what Paul now does with every proverb, what he's trying to do constantly is trying to compare the two paths. Comparing the path of the wise, the path of the fools. The path of the wise, the path of the fools. And that's what we're going to be seeing this afternoon. So I would suggest you begin to look at the book of Proverbs that way. And the book comes alive. You're going to love it. This is the book for sanctification, your sanctification journey. This is the book about how you do life. This is the book full of wisdom for what you will do in every season, every year, every minute, every moment of your life. Every sphere of your life, you get wisdom on how to do things. There's only two paths, the paths of the wise or the paths of the fools. Now, with that, what I want to recommend to us, and staying with our topic for today, is that we now transition into being topical now and look at just the proverbs that we have from this book that have to do with speech, right? Are you ready to get to learn and to hear wisdom? So two things. I want us to hear God's wisdom, even as Solomon is trying to compare the two paths on matter of speech. And I want you to know the comparison. Now, the comparison will be brought by a conjunction here that you can't miss in most of the proverbs. Na-na-na-na-na-na, but, right? Someone say, na-na-na-na-na-na, but. Yeah, Pastor said it, right? Na-na-na-na-na, but. Are you ready? Let's just hear and see God's wisdom in proverbs that have to do with speech. Let's start with, how about we start with now Proverbs 10 verse 11. This is what it says. Proverbs 10, 11, it says, "The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence." Have you seen the two paths compared? The conjunction, but. So the path of the righteous, the path of the people who fear God, is that one we've seen in the first part of the verse. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, right? And I don't know what your experience is. It is true. Some of us walked into places where there was life, people's life. They had a life in them. Or you walked into a space where people didn't have life and you spoke a word. And that's the word that brought life to those people, right? Those people are never the same again, because what you did with the words that you spoke is you brought life into that. The mouth of those who fear God is a fountain of life. Oh, that we would consider that wisdom. But the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Nothing good about the mouth of those who don't fear God. Remember what we learned in verse 7? They reject God's wisdom. There's another one, Proverbs 10:19. Sin is not ended by multiplying words, but two paths compared, the path of the wise, the path of the fools, but the prudent hold their tongues. Have you seen that? I call this one the verse, the proverb for this thing we do as Kenyans, and then please, if you're not a Kenyan, you may not understand it. Walk up to me after this, I'll explain it to you. It's called Kuletana Ju, right? Sin is not ended by multiplying words. Kenyans. You know? Wisdom. That's not the path of the wise. Kuletana Jew, it's not the path of the wise. There's a place for actually maybe choosing to keep your mouth shut, right? The prudent hold their tongues. The prudent hold their tongue, right? Those who are walking on the path of wisdom, you know what they will choose to do? They will hold their tongue. There's another one, Proverbs 10:31. From the mouth of the righteous comes the fruit of wisdom, but a perverse tongue will be silenced. Have you seen the two paths compared? The path of the wise, the path of the foolish people. Then there's another one, Proverbs 11:9. With their mouths, the godless destroy their neighbors, but with knowledge, the righteous escape. Did you see that? The godless, the unwise people, you know what they do with their mouth? Just destroying their neighbors. This is a realm of gossip, saying things that are not true about other people, your neighbor, right? And right there, God's people, wisdom, wisdom. The path of wisdom, but also the path of those who are not wise, the fools. There's another one, Proverbs 12:18. I like this one. It reads, 12:18. It reads, the words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Have you seen the two paths compared? The path of those who fear God, how they ought to order their lives, and the path of the fools and what they do. I think, again, if you're a Kenyan, you know that in our day-to-day, sometimes you've heard people, or it's you who say this statement that akile kitu alisema nilisikia imeni kata hivi, right? Words are sharper than swords, you agree, right? Oh, sometimes we call it sizing each other, right? Cutting other people's to size. Path of fools. Path of fools. Again, the prudent hold their tongues. There's another one. Verse 14:3. Here there is. A fool's mouth lashes out with pride. See how the sin of pride is connected with our mouth, right? A fool's mouth. Just lashing out with pride. But the lips of the wise protect them. Look, two paths compared. The path of the wise, the path of the fools. Look at chapter 14 again. Making point again here, the just general counsel. Stay away from a fool, for you'll not find knowledge on their lips. Of course, that's very obvious, right? Some people should have kept quiet. We wouldn't have known that they are fools. Not me. God's word. God's word, people. Right? God's wisdom. We keep on. Look at chapter 15 and verse 1. It says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Right? A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word does what? Stirs up anger. Let me tell you how I stirred up anger of someone. I should have exercised wisdom myself, right? The other day, I'm going home. I'm approaching a junction, and there's only maybe one, two cars ahead of me. But I know traffic rules. Just before I get to the junction, the light turns from green to orange, and then it's now red, right? What are you supposed to do when it turns red? You stop. And I stop, and before I even knew, I can see a policeman in front of me, the traffic officer, just saying, come, right? And you know that happens in Kenya. The rights are read, but they're telling you to go, and you don't know what to do, right? Now I sense that I should not tell this, but I will tell it anyway. It's my well, the day I didn't choose the path of the wise. I chose the path of fools. The officer very quickly, I can hear people are hooting at me, and I'm wondering, what's wrong with you Kenyans? It's red. I'm colorblind. But the officer now is even getting angry, and he ensures that both verbally and using gestures, that something is wrong with my mind. In fact, he does this. What's wrong? And some of you maybe are waiting to hear that the pastor responded with wisdom at this point. I didn't. You know what I did? I am now boiling. And I find myself, I've actually drove very, very confidently to where he is. And I asked him, so where, next time you're not here and the light is red, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do next time when he's not there? I stop, right? So you can see me. And then I asked me, do you know what he called me? He said, nini mbaya na wewe wazimu? Sasa, anaita nani wazimu? Let me leave that story there. Because there's a word that came out of my mouth that was not a gentle answer, and therefore it didn't turn away wrath, right? It just, a harsh word came out of my mouth and just stirs up the policeman's anger. I mean, we need wisdom every day, every moment, every second of our lives, right? Now imagine trying to convince that traffic policeman that short guy is actually a pastor. Okay, wisdom. We need wisdom. There's another one, chapter 15 and verse 4. The soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit, right? See the two paths compared? The path of the wise. What do? Every moment they open their mouth, they bring life to situations. They are a tree of life, right? They bring life. With their mouth, they bring life to situations. But the wicked, the foolish, you know what they do? They crush people's spirits. And I know that's your experience and mine. I know there are kids who are still struggling as adults because all they knew is their parents just crush their spirit every day. You know, spouses who have been called or told a certain thing, a certain energy, just crush their spirits, right? Wisdom, God's wisdom, two parts compared. There's another one, chapter 15 and verse 7, it reads, the lips of the wise spread knowledge, but the hearts of fools are not upright, right? There's an interesting one here, and Paul is just trying to illustrate the path of the fools. It's in chapter 17 and verse 28. We'll just read it and you hear it. It says this. So sort of trying again to help to help us to be a people who are discerning and who are prudent in our speech. He says this, chapter 17 and verse 28. It says, even fools are thought wise if they keep silent. Right? Even fools are thought what? If they keep silent and discerning, if they hold their tongues. Right? But chapter 18 is one of my favorite chapters with these ones for speech. Let's go there. Chapter 18, we start with verse 2. 18 verse 2, it says, this one, when I read it, I want everyone to say, ouch, okay? This one, hear it. Fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions. Yeah. Some of these Bible verses, there's no way you will read them and not feel like they're attacking you, right? That's why I say, ouch, right? Our experiences, right? More and more we become a people who are just not doing well when it comes to listening to people. We are always concocting answers before we have even listened to people. We don't take time to listen to people. The only thing we are delighting in is just airing our own wise opinions, right? The Bible calls us fools. Fools, people. Fools. Again, you see two paths compared, right? The path of those who would be a people of God who fear God. Don't do this. There is one in the same chapter, 17, 18, verse 7, it says, the mouths of fools are their undoing, and their lips are a snare to their very lives. Kuna watu wengine, mdomo yao ni mtego. For them, right? They should have kept quiet. They landed into a lot of trouble the moment they opened their mouth. True or not? Yeah. God's wisdom on speech. God's wisdom on cheek. I think my favorite one, and this one I've even memorized it because I like to apply it to me all the time. And I'm going to read it and then I'm going to ask for a volunteer who will just translate it into Swahili. It's a short one. Please prepare your Swahili now. 18 verse 13, this is what it says. To answer before listening, that is folly and shame. To answer before listening, that is folly and shame. Who wants to translate that for us? Swahili speakers? Yes, my friend. Two paths compared, right? To answer someone when you've not listened carefully to them, he or me? Not this short pastor saying, God's wisdom, right? God's wisdom. New pumbavu. Pastor Kadwin, 8 o'clock, told us, new shenzi. Ushenzi. Right? Don't you just love God's word? Without beating around the corner, trying to be diplomatic about this one, right? To answer before listening, that is folly and shame. There's another one, when I read it, I want you to say, ouch, okay? The last one we're going to read, and then we try to apply this message. 29 and verse 20, it says, do you see someone who speaks in haste? There is more hope for a fool than for them. Ouch, right? Ouch. Do you see someone who speaks in haste? There's more hope for a fool than for God's people. Now, if I stopped here, this would have been a terribly bad message because I know half of us listening, they are saying, yep, I've been constantly walking on the path of fools. Yep, I've hurt people. I've opened my mouth when I shouldn't have opened. I didn't exercise prudence when it came to speech. Pastor, I hear you. Yeah, I actually feel awful. I feel beat right now. Hold on, right? Because we also need to address the half of us who maybe, chances are, you're listening to this and you're saying, yeah, Pastor, you have a point. That, you know, all my life I've done a perfect job walking the path of wisdom on this matter that is speech. In fact, I've been trying to speak the same things you're saying, not knowing they are in the Bible, to people. I don't know how they don't get it. I've walked a perfect path. Let me tell you, you who's feeling beaten and you who is having this attitude that we call the moralist attitude, just being a moralist, right? You both need Jesus. We all need Jesus, right? We all need Jesus. Please note that the person who wrote these Proverbs, 3,000 of them are in the book of Proverbs. We just get about 513 of them. But Solomon wrote 3,000 proverbs, pondered and thought about 3,000 proverbs. But you know what? Solomon did not even keep to that path himself, did he? He was unable to help us. Solomon is not our model on this one, right? He is not. And we know how terribly he walked in the path of foolishness, especially how his life, 1 Kings 11, and the things we read there. Solomon could not make it. Let me let you know that the hope for you and me is in Christ Jesus, right? It's in Christ Jesus. Listen to the scriptures. In fact, Isaiah prophesying about a greater Solomon who was going to come. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 2, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of God." Have you seen that? Jesus becomes the true Solomonic son, listening and saying yes. And Jesus is the only one who walked that path of wisdom without turning to the left or to the right. Perfectly. Perfect record. We find it in Jesus Christ. Our hope. Our hope. Our only hope, right? But you know what? Christ did not just walk a perfect record on that path when he's here on this world. He's also the one who enables us through his Spirit to walk on that path, right? In fact, many times the truth is you have not walked on that path. You will not be able to walk on the path of wisdom left to yourself. You alone? No. We need help. Thank God for his Spirit. Our enabler. And you know what? I like that. Because Jesus Christ became that which I'll never be, right? Isn't that the good news? He became that which I'll never be. Jesus Christ's perfect record is now my record. Those of us who have put our faith in Jesus Christ. The righteousness, my righteousness, is the only righteousness that is found in Jesus Christ. Left on myself, I've hurt people. I will hurt people by my words. I will say things that I was not supposed to say. Isn't that beautiful? So this is not something you start, you know, beating yourself and saying from today, ni meskiza, ni taanza, ikitu, ni ko, ni. No, 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 no. It's to look at who to follow and also see the person you're following, not the person you're following, to see that Jesus is the only one we can follow and to know that Jesus is the only one who can enable us through the Spirit of God to walk the path. To have wisdom, circumstantial wisdom in every moment of our life and especially matter of speech. Amen? As we wind down, let me give us some practical things we can begin to do that I found myself, that these ones have been very helpful for me. Now, with what I said, the two paths compared, that motif, that pattern of looking at the book of Proverbs, the two patterns, the path of the unrighteous, the path of righteous, is to have that now. And then I go to the book of Proverbs and you actually read the book of Proverbs. The first practical application is that we will read the book of Proverbs, will we? Now I hope you are excited. You've seen it's full of wisdom, right? Will you read the book of Proverbs? We want to gain wisdom, knowledge, and insights and know how to deal wisely when we encounter any complex situations in life. Let's make a habit of reading the book of Proverbs. The thing I also discovered is that there are 31 chapters. So every day of the year, every day of the month, I can say, when is today? Today is 18th, right? So you open chapter 18 and you read, and while there, you're going to gain a lot of wisdom, right? But that's not where you stop. You take another step. You take a step further. You choose to memorize a proverb for every situation of life, right? Have a proverb for almost every sphere of life. Have a proverb for parenting. Have a proverb for disciplining your children. Have a proverb for money. Have a proverb for eating. Have a proverb for laziness, right? It's true. Have a proverb. have a proverb for listening. 18:13 says, you know, to answer before listening. When you pumbavu, and you make that your memory verse for the whole month, and let me tell you, your relationship, your engagement with your clients, with your children, with your spouse, is going to be greatly enriched as long as you're remembering that, right? Or maybe that's how we walk ourselves into a path, you know, righteousness. So let us memorize, right? Men, I want to caution you. It is not the path of wisdom to now say, oh, we were told to memorize. Let me go and memorize one for my marriage. And then you go to chapter 21, verse 9 or 19. Those two verses are almost the same. And you say, mine is better to live in the desert than with a quarrelsome and a nagging wife. Not path of wisdom, man, right? That's not what I mean, right? And then finally, friends, let's pray for wisdom. Oh, let's pray for wisdom in every sphere of our life. Let's not join the WhatsApp group called Ilisindikana, right? You know, that's giving up, because now you tried everything, your own human wisdom, people's wisdom, Ilisindikana, right? No, there's nothing like that in God's mathematics. Don't join those WhatsApp groups. Be the one who listens to James as he's giving us counsel. If any one of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Will we pray for wisdom? Yes, please, let's pray for wisdom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine on you in the coming seasons of your life. Amen.
'Thank you for listening in on today's sermon from Mamlaka Hill Chapel. We trust that the Word of God has touched your heart and inspired you through this sermon. If you have any questions, prayer requests, or if you'd like to connect further with our community, please visit our website at mamlakahillchapel.org. You are not alone. We are here to support you on your spiritual walk. Now may the peace of God accompany you throughout your week. Until we meet again, stay blessed and rooted in the love of Christ.